This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We talked about the word accountability came up 1,000 times as we were going through the offseason. He's established that quick, and it's authentic, too. It's not just because that was what was out there. It's something that's a part of his DNA and how he coaches.
That was Ryan Poles talking to the Hogan Johns podcast. Or as I like to call it with the rest of Adam Johns' listeners, the Hogan Baby Trapillo podcast, or Little Trapillo. We think Adam Johns looks like Ozzie Trapillo, Clay Harbor.
I see it.
See?
Oh, Clay, you see it?
I see it too.
Clay Harbor of CHSN is in studio with us here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, talking about how we think the Bears offense is going to look, how it takes shape, what they're going to do with all their people. Is it okay if some of their people aren't here right now, like Luther Burden? At least not yet. And then what they're going to do moving forward.
So I want to start with this Luther Burden III story, the soft tissue injury. Clay, how much are they missing and how much is he missing by not being ready to go at the start of his rookie season? Put that into context of how damaging this could be for both Luther Burden III, second round pick, and for the Bears not having him.
All right. I caught some heat on X about my take on this.
Oh, what's your take?
Caught a little heat on this. But I think it's very important, these OTAs and minicamp, for Luther Burden as a rookie. This stuff matters. If you want this guy to be available in Minnesota to help be a playmaker, you drafted him early in the second round, he's going to have to learn this offense. You're not an outside receiver. You are a slot receiver. You got to learn shifts. You got to learn motions. You got to adjust to the speed of the game. You got to adjust to the defenses you're getting thrown at. NFL defenses, NFL defenders, different caliber, different type stuff. This takes a long time. You need the OTAs. You need the mini camps. You need all of it. You need all the training camps to learn this playbook, to feel comfortable when the live bullets are flying. Obviously, injuries run bias. But when you have a soft tissue injury, say you're healthy, come back, then get another soft tissue injury. To me, in my experience, and I don't know what happened with Luther Burden, that tended to happen to guys that didn't put the work in the time between off season and season.
What should rookies or anybody be doing?
What's the work?
Yeah. What's the work?
You're going out there, you're lifting, you're running. We're not coming into training camp. This isn't a get in shape training camp. This is a get here in shape training camp. So you're going through your playbook every day. You're running the routes. You're doing your lifting. You're doing your running. You're doing your sled pushes. You're just getting ready for the season as if the first day is training camp, so you don't have these soft tissue injuries. I've seen it over and over again throughout my career. The guys that get the soft tissue injuries were the guys that really weren't putting in all that work. And I'm not trying to say that's what happened with Luther Burden, but I think that him missing this time is a lot more concerning than, say, Jalen Johnson missing this time. Jalen Johnson's got some skins on the wall. This guy's proven he can learn a new offense. He's proven he can play against an offense in this league. He's proven he can learn a new defense. Luther Burden, if you want him to have success and be a weapon this year, I know it's one day into camp, 2 days now that he's missing all the OTAs and all the training and all the mini camps. But this is concerning. If you wanted this guy to be a weapon this year, it's going to be a lot harder for him to catch up now.
But when you talk about, say, and this is part of my question, you're doing work at the college level. What's the difference of what rookies have to do conditioning and training-wise to make sure they're in optimal shape once they're at the NFL level, especially guys who like go through the draft camps and stuff like that? They're working on their pro days. What's the change there that can cause some of this stuff? How much extra do they have to do?
Well, it's tough for rookies, too, because when you're a rookie, right before the combine, you're training like a track athlete. You know, you're training to run a 40. You're training to do a vertical jump. You're training to do a 5-10-5 and agility drill instead of training to play football. So as soon as you get drafted, now you're going to mini camps and OTAs, and that's where you got injured for the first time. But now you got to start training for football. You got to start lifting for football. You got to start running for football. It's a different type of training. Your training, obviously, your change of direction for receivers, it's not the biggest change, right? Because receivers are still running, they're stopping, they're changing direction, but there still is a difference there. There's a guy on, you're training to be explosive, to be strong. You know, with linemen that are training for the combine, now you're training to play football, completely different training regimen. Defensive end, go from the combine training, NFL training, completely different. Linebacker, same thing. Receivers, it's different, but not as different, but there's still a lot of tweaks you got to make sure that you're going to come in shape and not get these soft tissue things. There's some things that are you can't avoid, but soft tissues in most cases are things that are avoidable.
That is the voice of Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran, co-host of the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN, and apparently he thinks he could still be playing tight end, if only for his birth certificate being out there for the general public. Okay, look. So we learned that Braxton Jones goes out like with the first team offense for whatever they do the first time they're out there. And then the first 2 days anyway, they've rotated Ozzie Tripillo and Kieran Amagaji. Amagaji went today. We've learned about the rotation at backup quarterback. And Case Keenum was out there day one. And then they changed that up on day two. How important or do you make anything of where guys start right now as opposed to how this thing will actually shake out?
Doesn't matter. These guys are an open competition. Yeah, okay, they're saying Braxton is getting the benefit of the doubt. He's our starter, our pseudo-starter right now. You know what's going to matter? When they all line up against Montez Sweat and Dio Dangbo. Who's blocking these guys the best? Who's stopping them in their tracks? Who's not letting them get pressure? Who's not letting them pinch the pocket? Who's doing the best in this outside zone, wide zone scheme? Right? Who's doing the best in the gap scheme? We're doing our trade blocks. This right now doesn't matter. Monday, pads come on. That's when the competition starts. And from what I saw in OTAs and minicamp, I didn't see Braxton. I think it's going to be a competition between Ozzie Tripillo and Braxton Jones. Ozzie Tripillo, I mean, you could just see this guy knows the playbook. And I talked to his offensive line coach in college, Matt Applebaum, earlier this year. And he said he coached in the NFL. He was an offensive coach for several years in the NFL, including my coach, which I thought was a little bit offensive when he said this. He said, I have never seen a player, professional or college, learn a playbook faster than Ozzie Tripillo. And, you know, Ben Johnson parroted that. This guy's extremely intelligent. His technique was amazing. I was very impressed with his bend, his movement for a guy his size. I mean, this guy makes the mountain from Game of Thrones look small. He's a massive human being. So I think he is going to really put some pressure on Braxton Jones. But we've got to remember, Braxton Jones is at top half of the league, I would say, left tackle. So as a rookie, second-round pick, can Ozzie Tripillo be a top half of the league left tackle? I think he has the opportunity to. I think he has a smart, the intelligence, the bends, the athleticism to pick this thing up. But I think right now, if I'm putting money on who is going to be the starter coming into the season, I think you got to put the money on Braxton Jones just because he has what Ozzie Tripillo doesn't.
Experience.
Yeah, I agree with that when it comes to just the body of work. Like you've got to give it to the guy who has lasted this long, especially as one of Ryan Poles' first draft picks. Like, credit to Braxton Jones for doing so. We are talking to Clay Harbor here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, the pro football show co-host, the nine-year NFL veteran, and also a guy who is a certified personal trainer. Mm-hmm. So when we knew you were coming in today, imagine our luck, because we heard Ryan Poles say this about Ben Johnson on the Bears Etc. podcast. Take a listen.
Yeah, you feel it in the building. The excitement, the intensity, I believe, has gone up. Ben and his crew just bring a different level of energy. I love DA. Dennis Allen, just, he's got a swagger, confidence to him, aggressiveness that I like, and I think that amplifies the whole building. So what Ben won't tell you, Ben lifts in the morning like really hard, and he throws around like real weight, like
Full
cleans, everything. So you hear him in the weight room in the morning too. So he gets after it. So it starts the day out that way. I'll peek out there and see what kind of weight he's throwing around.
I love that though. Like, I like the idea of Ryan Poles checking Ben Johnson, former football player versus former mostly coach / player, thrown around weight. What kind of weight do we think Ben Johnson's throwing around?
I heard he squats 405, and he does it with good depth. Like, there's a guy that can squat 405. He goes all the way down, you know we call it, I can't say what we call it.
So cheeks to calves, basically.
Yes, cheeks to calves. But like, yeah, Marshall Harris is a guy that does like a quarter squat, right? He's a guy that has a big squat, but he literally just bends his knees and puts the bar back on the rack.
That's only when I do push press. That's only when I do push press, because that's what push press is.
There's a difference.
Is.
Like, Marshall's
You're
going
not
going to
sit here and
squats,
clown me on my own show.
Ben Johnson's going all the way to the ground. But here's the question I have. Ben Johnson, are you trying to make a comeback? Because what are you doing power cleans? I'm telling you, I haven't done a power clean since I stopped playing in the NFL.
That's not an old man move. That's a young man's move.
It seems very satisfying, though. Like, once you do them, I see why you'd want to do it.
I do power cleans, but I do lightweight. So I do power cleans. I do 115. Yeah, 115.
Listen, for the listeners out there, don't do power cleans. I'm going to tell you that. There's no point to do power cleans. Power cleans, unless you're trying to get better at performing in some sport. Maybe you're doing intramurals, but...
Intramurals.
I don't know who's listening.
Like,
here.
Are we talking about kids?
Some college kids, probably.
Kevin Lapka. Are you talking about Kevin Lapka? You're now social media guy
nemesis.
Who used to be
your
our
nemesis.
Guy.
Yeah, Kevin Lapka. Me and him talk trash all the time. But power cleans is a movement you are doing for sports. For me, as a 40-year-old man, almost, like, I'm not doing power cleans anymore. Tough on your body. I'm not trying to get back out on the football field. Unless Ryan Poles is listening to this, then okay, I'm ready to go.
I think power cleans are okay as part of a complex move where you're just, from a mobility standpoint, you're doing high pulls, and then you're doing cleans, and then you're doing power cleans, and then you're doing, squat? Like, I think...
Good conditioning.
Aren't you and Ben Johnson about the same age?
Like, yeah, we're about the same age.
So is this a challenge to you?
Yeah, I feel like you can't do the stuff Ben Johnson does. How does that make you feel?
Ooh. Well, Ben Johnson doesn't have 9 years of car crashes on his body to where his knees and back feel like, you know, when he wakes up, it's like a popcorn popper.
Are you sore when you wake up in the morning?
Heck yeah, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but I'm old. That's the difference. No, it's interesting to hear Ryan Poles talk about Ben Johnson in that manner. I'm curious, does that mean anything to football players to see your coach doing stuff like that?
Yeah, it does. I think it just shows how serious he is. And when you got like coaches out there, you talk about the coaches doing the up-downs with the players. I like things like that. That shows you how invested your coaches are. And then sometimes we'd be running our conditioning, and then we got our coaches running conditioning with us. We're like, okay, let's go. Coach is doing this. Firstly, you can't let them beat you. You got to be looking better than them. But then secondly, it's like, cool, you know, they don't have to do this. They're joining in our suffering here. And it's something that you do respect, the fact that they're willing to do that. So I always like that, if the coach is in the weight room getting stuff done. And it does, to me, make you respect them a little bit more because of that discipline factor.
Did you do up-downs in the NFL?
Bro, when we played with the New England Patriots, you flinch offsides. Just take off running. You're running a mile across. Don't even wait for Bill to yell at you. People just run. You flinch, you run. And then Bill will be starting to yell a few things I can't say on air. With the Andy Reid and the Eagles, right? They're talking about Ben Johnson pulled out the team on the... We would be 8 plays through a 9-play period. Andy Reid didn't like the way the period was going. Start over. Oof. We go, first off, coach, you know where we're running. I don't care. Start over. We're 8 plays in. I don't care. Start over. So I love the fact that Ben is having that accountability and making him do that. The best coaches, Sean Payton. I remember one time, we were a third away through practice. This ain't even legal. I know it ain't legal no more. A third away through practice, get back in stretch lines. Get back in stretch lines. I said, what? He didn't like the way practice was going. We went all the way back to stretch and went through practice all over again. Couldn't have been legal. Obviously, this was back in the day. I sound like a grandpa telling war stories.
You are a grandpa.
Back in my day, we used to have these. No, but seriously, I love it. And you respect the coach that won't let you get away with anything. Guess what? Everybody was more locked in then. They were ready to go then. There was no drop balls then. There was no Mrs. Simons then. So I love that this is Ben Johnson's attitude.
Well, and Sean Payton famously is an inspiration of Ben Johnson's coaching staff when you see it. He worked with Dan Campbell for Sean Payton, Dan Roshar, Sean Payton. There's a lot of connections. Declan Doyle. So that lets you know a little bit about the inspiration. Marshall and I also talked about just when you know it's two-a-days or when you know it's football practice. And I felt like you didn't know it was two-a-days until somebody threw up and other people were doing up-downs. Did you have something that let you know it was two-a-days when you were practicing?
These guys, and I know I'm the grandpa again, talking about the war story.
They have it so
they
easy.
Don't know about the two-a-days, Marshall, over at Lehigh in Pennsylvania, going through two practices. And you're eating off days? Every fourth day you have to have an off day? We had 23 straight days of practice. You didn't know it was two-a-days until, I mean, you hated your life. I mean, there was no light at the end of that tunnel. There was no off day. It was just day in and day out, and there was just such a feeling, there was this feeling of dread, but feeling of competition. You loved it, you hated it, but I mean, that was what camp was about. But I mean, I know I sound like an old timer right now going backwards, but there was nothing.
No,
like
honestly,
it.
Two of my most entertaining places that I've been to in Pennsylvania, Lehigh and La Trobe. And in those two places, men were doing man things out there in the sweltering heat, and I was happy no one was dying.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma drill was a common practice, you know. I don't know about in the NFL. Did they do the Oklahoma drill in the NFL?
Chip Kelly, when he came in, he brought the Oklahoma drill, and we're all like, what are we doing? We're doing the Oklahoma drill? Are we back in college? So that was one of the things I remember from Chip, amongst other things.
He didn't last, Chip
Kelly. Well, yeah, Chip brought a lot of the college games
back.
To the NFL.
He's back in the NFL.
Yeah, that was a surprising plot twist. Yeah. He got his natty, and I guess he's like, I'm good. Let's go back. We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris on the Score. Our thanks to Clay Harbor for coming into studio.
Appreciate
what time
you,
is the big pro football show today?
5:30 tonight. It'll be me and David Hogg. Ruthie Polinsky will be off.
Awesome. So Clay and David Haw, maybe you've heard of David, a little known show host around here at the Score, will be fun to watch for sure on CHSN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Congratulations, you're getting married.
Yeah, big time. Moving up in the world, doing big things. It was a good All-Star break.
What are you willing to share with the listeners? And was there pure surprise? Was there, like, what was your process for you know, asking your girl to marry you?
Yeah, it was close to our place in San Francisco, down by the water. So that part was by ourselves. Then we came back home, and that was where the real surprise was, as far as just how many people were able to be there from around the country. We had about 25, 30 people up on our rooftop and able to celebrate in a really great way.
Wow, that's awesome. So you had a surprise gathering that she didn't know about. Well done, sir. Long time in the planning?
Yeah, a couple months. You know, that's why I kind of tanked towards the All-Star break, make sure that stayed out of Atlanta and keep the plans intact, you know.
I think you made the right choice.
Oh my God.
Did you cry and did she cry?
Oh, of course. There's good tears all around. You know, we've been together for almost 10 years since freshman year of college. So long time coming. Maybe no surprise to close people to us, but still amazing to kind of enter this next chapter.
What were you scared? Like, you guys have been together for a decade, so she's probably not going to say no. But was there ever a moment where you're like, she might say no or not yet? How were you scared?
You know, our communication is pretty solid to where I felt good on that end. The nerves is more on the logistics side, just including, you know, people from around the country and keeping things a secret and food and drinks and logistics and all the above. And but sometimes when you're doing that much, it can be things kind of fly by. You're not present for it. So I was really glad that just how much we were able to enjoy it all.
Who almost messed it up, Nico?
You know, it was pretty smooth all around. You know, I think I was later told by her that the pace of my walking was a little faster than normal as we were heading down there. I'm real slow out in the world. I move pretty slow through things. Not always that way on a baseball field, but definitely in the day to day. So I think she sensed something was up just by my pace, but yeah, hard to fool people that know you well.
Such a good joke by you about tanking before the All-Star break to make sure that you don't have to go to Atlanta. Because all I'm thinking about, Lawrence, our last time talking to Nico before the break was like, hey, you could still make the team. I mean, would you go?
Little did we know.
I know. Your answer was like, well, yeah, I think I'd make the All-Star game my focus. Meanwhile, you're kind of hoping at that point, well, let's go ahead and get through with this. Right?
No, it would have been a very good problem to have to move that party to another time, obviously. good things all around.
What did the guys say that went to the All-Star game? How did they feel about it?
It was fast and chaotic, but just an incredible thing to be a part of. And I think the thing I've heard most consistently from guys is just sharing a locker room with all those people is really cool, even if it's brief. And you know, whether it's your first time or your fifth or whatever it is, just having all the game's best in one place is really quite a showcase for the sport. And just, I imagine is an amazing thing to experience.
Nico, did you think at this point in your career, you would be hitting against a pitcher old enough to be your dad?
It's Rich Hill tomorrow. He's 45, or tonight, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Testament to him. And, just in a sport that's gotten increasingly hard to stick around for players after they even turn, you know, 31, 32, he's, you know, still doing it and getting guys out and, you know, features a mix that's stayed consistent throughout his career. Obviously kind of, knows himself, I imagine, really, really well. And, you know, it's not by chance that he's found his way back to the big leagues.
There's a little video of Mick Jagger when he was 28, with the Rolling Stones, saying, if you think we're going to be doing this when we're 40, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Meanwhile,
those guys
are 80.
It's like 80 and still rolling. So let's ask you, Nico Horner, at 45, if you have the opportunity to still be in the big leagues, do you think you'd be battling to stay in the big leagues?
I mean, that's, it really seems pretty impossible. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think I have a family and stuff by then, and other things are pulling me away. I just, if I'm still able, 45 is just like beyond possibility, but, yeah, who knows? I'm going to play as long as I'm able bodied and a good version of myself, but, yeah.
Hey, lead off Nico is really exciting for us. I think it's just so freaking cool, especially that Saturday at Yankee Stadium where you tripled the lead off the game.
Yeah, that felt really good. That felt significant.
It did, right? I mean, because like, so why did that feel significant, and what does it feel like to have some success up there?
The Friday night game we played there was, you know, very one-sided loss, and just to go, you know, night to day game, right back to the field, be the first person in the batter's box for either team as a visiting team, and to, you know, hit a ball hard off of, you know, obviously an incredible pitcher, Max Fried, and start us off, get a run, get going. And then obviously we had a lot of great at bats after that, but kind of break the seal a little bit. It felt amazing.
It is being a leadoff guy exciting for you? What's the feeling?
Yeah, just the opportunity to impact the game, impact winning. You know, the first inning is a leverage inning. That's why you know, you see the openers and you see an emphasis on the first inning. You know, it's the top of the order. It's who scores first. It's dictating momentum. And to be in the middle of all that and have a chance to be on base for the big bats in our order and all that is very exciting.
So do you change as a hitter, at least for that first at bat? What's your internal dialogue like?
It does feel different, I think, especially when you're the visiting team. Just like, sometimes it feels different having already been out in the field and then coming back to hit like we do at home. There's certain times when you kind of go back and forth on swinging on the first pitch of the game. But not too much. I mean, there's definitely no like message from counsel or anything about, you know, what he wants from me in that spot. He just wants us to do the best version of ourselves and roll it out there with confidence, and it's kind of all you can do.
It can be a heavy thing to have the roles change and have people have to step up. You and Michael Bush both doing that, and then Ian having to adjust. Seems like Ian's taking it well and being a good teammate and responding well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was never going to be an issue with him as far as handling things like a pro. And, you know, first things first, he just wants to, be the best version of himself and continue to hit the ball hard. He's had a pretty tough stretch of batted ball luck the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. And, no one's worried about him. We all know he's been as strong-minded as anyone when it comes to, like, going through challenges personally and then coming out on the other side of them even better than he was before. I think you've seen him do that many, many times in his career. So excited for his second half.
So you said first inning's a leverage inning. Maybe this is obvious, but what are the other leverage innings, if there are some?
I imagine the ninth in a close game. And then I guess just other times when the top of the order is coming up, I think sometimes you see, you know, higher, instead of it being like, this is your seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guys, you know, maybe that eighth inning guy throws in the sixth if it matches up well with, you know, Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez or whatever it is. I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with that.
I got you. I thought maybe you were talking about like maybe the fifth or the sixth when the starter is a little tired or they're about to go to that first guy, like maybe the sixth these days, you know?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Like that, there's some innings that really feel like opportunity missed too. Like when you have a starter right on the, you know, the verge and they kind of choose to leave him out there and he feels vulnerable and you aren't able to score, kind of things like that, I don't feel like all innings are created equal. Yeah.
Nico, you guys have been playing pretty good baseball for the last few weeks. And for a minute, you guys had the best record in the National League. And then poof, you look up today and here are the Milwaukee Brewers in first place. I know that you guys aren't really scoreboard watching, and it's probably too early even for fans to be doing that, but I'd love to know what your mindset is like when you're like, you guys have been in control for the most part of this division, and now all of a sudden here these guys are on an incredible win streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I think you the best way to see it is just as an awesome opportunity, and that, you know, credit to them for playing well and putting themselves in a strong spot. But we've got, you know, however many games left, and plenty of games against each other to just see who the better team is. And that's why it takes 162. And, you know, I don't think there's any regrets on our end of how we've played so far, of how we've handled things. Things we can do better, and I think the feeling is that it's in our control as far as, you know, our destiny in the division, given that we play them a lot and there's a lot of baseball left. So you know, it's that's why it's a special thing to go to the playoffs to win a division, and we haven't done it in a while, so it's definitely something to be earned.
You know, there have been times where we might look at the Brewers and say, oh man, they play cleaner, faster, better, even though the other team has more power. I don't know that that's true this year. Like, I feel like you guys play clean and athletic and fast and smart. Like, do you feel like you play as well as they do, or as other teams like the Diamondbacks or other good teams out there? I feel like you guys measure up this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot, but you know, the ability to win a variety of styles of games. I really think that's huge. Not just relying on slug or strikeouts or you know, whatever it may be. And you know, I can speak more on our position player group, but just a really well-rounded group that I think the skill sets complement each other really well. And yeah, you mentioned the Diamondbacks and the Brewers and really athletic teams that have, you know, had success in getting to the playoffs and also once they're there. So yeah, I think that's a huge deal. And it definitely has a different feeling about the group this year.
Nico, what's it like in the clubhouse this time of year? Because you guys have been through trade stuff before. There are a lot of names last year about guys who might be moved. So what's it like for veteran players? Because you know that your team might add something. How do you guys react to even the talk of your team making a move?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret, right? Like, I mean, I'm not up on every headline or things like that, because you know, those things really rarely dictate much. But you know, I think we've earned a position to, you know, look into improving our roster to be the best version of ourselves to get to October and have success there. As far as internal discussions, like, yeah, there's always talks within players. Just, I think we're always kind of evaluating our team and what we can do better individually or ways we can improve. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the front office. I think one thing that people don't realize, I think sometimes, is that like talk of trade or adding players is also replacing players that are here. So, you know, the trade deadline may be in 10 days or whatever, but the reality is we have a lot of games between now and then with the group of people that we have here right now, which is kind of all that matters, because it's what you can control. And, you know, you got guys that are battling for playing time and roles, and people that have been here since the start of the year and worked incredibly hard. And so as far as like openly discussing how to improve the roster, you're also kind of talking about, you know, replacing guys that you really care about too. So it can be a sensitive thing.
Yeah. You don't want to blurt out, hey, we need some help at position X, and some dude's right there.
See, I'm right here, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might be on the verge of some of the best ball they ever played. So you never know.
Well, you know, is there any smile that you've seen that's bigger than those Matt Shaw home run smiles? Like, over the weekend,
that swing yesterday was something special. That ball scared me because it was trying to go foul. But yeah, like he's just handled everything so well this year. And like the confidence internally from just our guys and everything, and like the kind of career he's going to have. And I think a lot of that confidence comes from just like the personality that he's put forth and the way that he's handled challenges this year. And just really impressed by him. And he's had some really great swings lately. And the defense he's played has just been ridiculous for a guy that hasn't played much third base. That's a really hard position, and it's been fun to watch.
Nico, obviously at Wrigley, every weekend kind of feels big. Like, it's an emotional amplifier of a ballpark. This weekend felt different to me. I was there on Friday. So was Spiegs, and so was our EP, Alex. And does it feel different to you? There's, what, 120,000 people over the three games that showed up to watch you guys versus the Red Sox. Can you guys even feel that, or is that us imagining stuff?
No, no, that's very real. I felt it most on Saturday. I think they had the leadoff double against Shota and, you know, runner on third, less than two outs. And it felt like a seventh, eighth inning kind of situation in the top of the first, which I was just kind of in the field like, whoa, this is different. This is exciting. And, you know, he struck a guy out and got out of the scoreless, and just a, you know, the beautiful summer night game. Red Sox in town. They're coming off of winning a bunch of games in a row. They've got a great team, great energy coming off the break. Just like it was very much a real feeling. I had, it was really special. So yeah, that was the game that Bush and Tuck hit homers to start the game. Yeah, the whole thing was just like kind of cinema. So it was incredible. Yeah,
that's really cool that you felt that, because it was obvious all weekend around that place, man. It's like two heritage franchises having a love affair with their fans again. You know?
Yeah. No, that's how it's supposed to be, and it's I think it's something that should be earned from teams. Like, I don't think it should be assumed that Wrigley is always like that. I think it, you know, I appreciate that we have fans that show up no matter what, but it should be based on a team that wins, a team that does it in exciting fashion, that has personalities the fans like. And I think that you can't do that overnight, but I think the fans appreciate that there is some really cool stuff going on this year.
So we've been doing some metrics, Nico.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't. We have to give credit. Chris Tannehill has created pizzagraphs.com.
Yeah. And he's got sound, too. He listens to the broadcast, and he pulls stuff like when Boog and JD talk about your pizza.
By the way, Nico Horner, I think it's Rinaldi's. He's got his own pizza. It has pineapple on it. Just a note. In the air, left field, playable for Castro.
It's a Cali thing.
A Cali thing. That seems like a dismissive tone from Jim Deshays about the pineapple. Your thoughts, Nico?
Yeah, JD seems like a tavern-style cheese. Give me a beer on the side and hang out. I don't know.
That's right. I'll eat that's all right.
Boog's a New York guy, so I'm sure he's got his deeply rooted pizza bagels opinions, which are usually correct. They do it really well.
But you know me, man. I'm team pineapple. I'm with you 100%. And here's the thing.
I'm not going to judge you if you aren't. It's just I like it. So there you go.
The public is team pineapple. This is fun with numbers. Pizzas sold since the 20th of June.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
That's right, Craig. We're having fun with numbers for Nico. Danny Parkins has sold 245 pizzas since June 20th. Nico Horner, 659 pizzas. You're up. You are 414 pizzas ahead of Danny since the 20th of June. Your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe a little, you know, early excitement, recency bias. I want to know the return customers. That's what I'm really caring about. You've had it once. Do you order it again? I'd love stats on that if that's possible. That's getting pretty deep analytics for pizza, but
that's why we started pizzagraphs.com for stuff just like that.
It feels really good.
Once the league sees you once, once you get around the league one time and then the adjustments come, that's when you really gotta step up.
Exactly.
It's that,
it's a production league, so we're good.
That's the third time around the order, that pizza. So the third time that it's ordered, that's when we'll really know that we're on to something with Nico.
Hey, man, we got to ask you, Ryan Sandberg's jersey all over Wrigley this weekend. I'm sure you've heard about his health update that he offered. You see Kerry Wood there, and you see John Lester wearing his jersey. And it's, I mean, what has it meant to you so far as a Cub to have Rhino in your life and in your baseball life and get to really think about him as a player and get to know him as a dude?
Yeah, I think what's so cool about the time that he spends around here is that it's never about him, even though it totally could be and would deservedly be so. It's like he's genuinely just like interested in seeing how we're training, what we're thinking about, like what things are still similar, what's changed. Just being on the field, being in the sunshine, like just like the classic baseball stuff. You can tell he just misses being a ball player out there. And my favorite moment with him that I've had was, I just mentioned in passing one time that, you know, I'd love to see his glove, one of his gloves, you know, and he showed up at spring training like months later and he had two of his gloves. It was the 84 season and 89. He had like a little Sharpie on it, 84 and 89, and they were worn out in like the same exact way in the palm and had, you know, the gold label on the wrist, and just cool that he had kept them and kept them in great shape and wanted to share and had remembered and took the initiative to share that with me. So yeah, he's an absolute baseball legend, and thinking of him a lot.
That's really cool.
Beautiful as always. Nico, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man. What should we wear to the wedding, by the way? When is it, and what should we wear?
Wear white.
Okay. All right, good. Just wanted to check. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Mike, David, how are you boys doing today?
Looking forward to a big weekend. Looking forward to the Cubs and Sox going at it on the South Side. Should be fun. You got the best team, the best offense in baseball, and a team that's played the best offense since the second half started. The Sox winning 5 of 6 somehow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing kind of what they get going. You know, the problem in baseball is when you're with a team every day, that's not really a problem. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you get so locked into your own ball club that, you know, you don't get, you see a little bit of what's going on and you read and you try to watch. But it'll be interesting because the White Sox were scuffling when we first played them, and you know, and now you know some of these young kids are starting to take off a little bit. So I know I will spend some time in with Lenny Casper today, one of my old buddies, and see him and talk to some of the White Sox people today and just see how they're doing. DJ also is one of my old teammates, so he always gives me a hard time for Robin. It's my grand slam I hit the Metrodome and he pulled it back. So I know I'll hear that today, but it'll be nice to see those guys and look forward to the whole weekend for sure.
So, Ryan, the Cubs needed a day off, and you might have too after watching the Royals series because that was disappointing. You lose 2 out of 3, and I know Seth Lugo was very good in the finale, but in your view, what was the biggest reason the Cubs did not win that series, and where is your level of concern with this team? Even though it is the second-best team in the National League right now, you play a home series against the Royals, and you feel like you should have probably won it.
Sure, I think you're always concerned, Dave, when you lose the teams that you're hoping you beat, especially at home, too. But, you know, the baseball season is, you know, has so many swings in it that it's just part of the program. I was listening to you guys earlier and you're talking about some of the possible trades and what you're doing and, you know, and Casey and some of that. And, you know, Tuck has scuffled this month. Ian Happ has really had his struggles some this season, you know, hitting in the 220s most of the year. But, you know, I look at it and go, first of all, Tuck is going to hit, and that's just the way it is. So that's going to be one of these things that's going to click one day, and then he's going to take off and be like the player of the month one of these months. And then you just got to ride that wave a little bit. I think the hitting side of it in the big leagues for every team goes up and down. And right now the Cubs are having, you know, they'll have a big inning, but they don't have a big game. They don't string together 2 or 3 innings. And that's what Kansas City did. You got to tip your hat to them. They banged the baseball, man, and they're a talented young team, especially the top half of the lineup. You know, and they got that catcher guy who can, Perez, he can hit. Jesus. I mean, even, you know, you think he might be a little old and his bat's getting slow. Not so much. No, his bat's not getting slow at all.
Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. So, Ron, Matt Shaw, since the All-Star break, has a 6-game hitting streak. He's gone 9 of 18 with 3 homers, 6 RBI, and a 1,000 slugging percentage. What are you seeing differently, and does that sort of a streak change anything in terms of whether or not you need an upgrade there?
Well, I think it changes the way you look at it for sure, you know, and you because with young players, like, you never know when that time comes where things click in, whether it's, you know, the mental side of it that all of a sudden he gets the, you know, the gray out of there and all of a sudden he sees the light, so to speak, you know, or, you know, has he made a change in his mechanics a little bit that give him confidence, even if it's something so slight that we don't see it. But he's more aggressive. He's seeing the ball a little better. And I just think he's committed to swinging more. You know, I think there are times where some of the young guys, they get so obsessed with the, you know, take, and you know, the on-base percentage thing, that they're not leaving the on-deck circle going hit. You know, so some of that, I don't know if that creeps in with him, but I see that around the league quite a bit, and that to me gets a little concerning when you've got a guy that you're hoping to be an offensive player with the bat in his hand.
So, Ron, you know from your experience what the deal is with prospects, and sometimes they never pan out, and sometimes teams hold on to them too long, but sometimes you can use them to get veterans back that are going to help you in a pennant race. What is your general thought process or your belief that in Owen Casey? Is he somebody that the Cubs should protect in case Kyle Tucker leaves and keep in the organization? Or is he somebody you'd be willing to part with for the right pitcher?
That's a great question. I don't have an absolute answer. And the reason why I don't, David, is I haven't seen him. If I saw him day after day playing, it would be a different story, and I might have a little better, a little more educated answer. But without seeing him day after day, because I evaluate things probably a little different than most, being an ex-player and playing a long time, because there are times, you know, guy will be projected to be this thing, and you look at him and go, yeah, but that swing's not going to work in the big leagues. It's just not. And then you look at other guys and they go, ah, he can do a little of this, a little of that. But you look at him and you go, yeah, but that game projects well in the big leagues. He does things that are going to be good to help a team win and have value. So without seeing him play day in and day out, I know he's a really talented young guy. He's got big time pop in his bat, you know, big kid and a really nice kid. So, you know, hey, here's the great thing. He's putting himself in a position to be very, very relevant. And when you think about the kid himself, that's what you're looking to do when you're playing professional baseball, and he's doing it. And that's great for the Cubs, that's for sure.
You know, it's really an interesting time period for the Cubs because we've been talking about this for so long, the trade deadline and what are they going to do and can they make a move that gets them another pitcher and will they be, basically since Steele went down, you know, are they going to have the rotation that wins in the playoffs, et cetera? Now it's inching ever closer. What's that like within the team or within a team when you get to a point where you've been waiting for something, whether it's real or not, and you're inching ever closer to the only time when it can happen?
I think if you're on the bench, if you're playing for a team like the Cubs that's been in first place or at first place almost the whole first half, first 100 games, let's say, you're really thinking as a group that you've put yourself in a position to get some help to push you over the top and really make you a strong candidate to play deep in October. You really do. And that's what I think the whole group is, from Jed and Crane and all those guys on down to the, you know, Craig Council and the players. So I think they've put themselves in a position to succeed in the playoffs and go deep. You know, the thing that I always say is it takes two to tango with the trade thing. And, you know, what you're looking for, it seems like this year teams are looking, there's four teams that are relevant that are looking for a third baseman. The entire playoff bound teams are looking for a starting pitcher and a great bullpen arm. Everyone. So, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of, you know, everybody's in shopping for the same thing. So, do you have the right pieces to share? Now, does that mean Casey's one of those pieces? Does that mean a guy in the big leagues is one of those pieces that could go somewhere else? You know, that very well could be. So, but I really feel like if you're a Cub right now in uniform, you're looking around the room going, boy, one or two pieces could really put us right over the top and be in a position like you were in 16.
Let's say hypothetically they asked you to be a guest hitting instructor and they brought you in the clubhouse.
Oh, I like these hypotheticals, Mike.
And they put you in a room, say, Coom, with Ian Happ and Kyle Tucker, and each guy you had to briefly summarize what's gone wrong or why they're slumping in the month of July. How would that go? What would you tell them?
I would probably take, you know, Ian and try to talk to him about what his thought process is going to home plate. You know, his swing doesn't look bad. I mean, you know, over the last, you know, four or five games, you know, he's been on time with some really good swings. And, you know, when he's on time left-handed here lately, the balls he's really squaring up, he's hooked foul. You know, it might have been change-ups. And, you know, so he's hitting in a little bit of bad luck. But what's your process going into home plate? Are you aggressive enough? Are you too aggressive? What, you know, so some of those things can cloud you going to home plate when you're not swinging, when you're not succeeding like you want to be succeeding. For Tuck, I think his swing's breaking down just a little bit at times, and that's a mechanical thing. But, you know, he's got kind of a unique stroke. He really does. He's got a long front arm, you know, but he always has. His front knee breaks down a little, but it always has. And he's just missing some pitches that we see him click on a lot. Is he a little banged up? I'm not sure. If he is, it would probably be a leg thing to me, you know. And, you know, it seems to me the more rest he gets, the better he plays, the better he swings. So, you know, you might be looking at some of that too. But I wouldn't – you might talk to Tuck a little bit, but talking about one of the guys that has had a tremendous career so far in the first, let's say, half of his career. You know, you just want to try to get him in the right frame of mind and feeling good at the plate, and he can carry a ball club. Look what he's done. Look what he's done to the two guys hitting behind him this year.
Ron, who's your favorite leadoff hitter? Do you think that the way that Craig Counsell is doing it is really working? Do you like one guy in that role, or do you like going lefty-righty depending on matchups? And do you think that that Ian Happ is done with that role for this season?
I don't know if he's done for the role for the season, Mike, but for right now, you know, he's you know, not doing what he's done over the past few years. So I would expect what's going on now is going to stay. I like the situation that they're in right now. I like the left-right thing. I really do. It puts Michael Bush in a position against righties to do damage right away and, you know, to put a little fear of God in the starting pitcher when he takes the mound right away. And I've always been a fan of Nico Hoerner hitting at the top of the lineup. There's never been a time that I have watched this team since Nico has been in the big leagues that I think that's not a good idea. He, to me, is, and Pat says this too, this is Pat's way of describing Nico. He's an energy guy. He instantly gets on the field in his first at bat, and you feel the energy of Nico, whether he's going to get a base hit, he walks, he's going to steal second, he can steal third. He's just one of those people that, you know, puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team. And I love Nico hitting first also. So the left-right thing that Counts is doing right now, I think, is pretty good.
So, Kuma, I don't know what the Cubs are thinking going into Sunday with another TBA as a starting pitcher. Ben Brown wasn't great the last time out. I don't like the idea of an opener. They haven't made a trade yet. What do you think they do Sunday at Wright Field? Do you think they're going to go with the same plan and give Ben Brown another opportunity to impress?
I would say, as of right now, without a trade, I would say probably yes. Either Brownie or Flexen Brownie kind of thing, you know, with that, you know, opener kind of thing, or Flex throwing three and Brownie throwing three, or however that's going to work. I'm not real sure.
Wouldn't Alcantara or Cease make more sense?
Huh?
David's got a deal going down.
As you put it, they're in different laundry right now.
Yes, I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Coom. Wishful thinking.
I don't disagree. I think everybody, you know, would love to see, you know, the Cubs make a move and get a front line starting pitcher. That guy from Kansas City, he wasn't too bad the other day.
Yeah.
Lugo character. I mean, that to me was baseball at its best. He can pitch, man. And he's athletic on the mound, but the three different speeds on the same breaking ball and in and out, up and down. I mean, I just watched that guy and I'm like, he would have been the guy that just, you go to the dugout after your fourth at bat or third at bat now, and you're just ticked off and you're like, that's the most comfortable four at bats of an 0-for-4. And I didn't square one damn ball up. And I'm like, what's he doing? And he's just carving you up. He's impressive. He really is.
You know, it's funny because the Cubs are literally everywhere in terms of this trade stuff. They've got guys all mm-hmm. over the place. People are reporting everything. There was a report the other day that Emmanuel Clase could be a guy that they go for. I shouldn't say if. When Jed calls you and says, what position do we need most? what would you answer? Is it, do you need bullpen help? Do you have to have a starting pitcher? Do you need another bat? If it was up to you, who would you, how would you prioritize it?
First of all, my phone's not ringing. That's his job. My job is to broadcast and sit next to the Hall of Famer and tell you what's happening on the field. I think at the end of the day, pitching wins playoff games. Quality pitching. So if you had a wish list, I would say starting pitching is by far number one, first and foremost. A bullpen arm would be number two. If you could, you know, do something late in the pen, you know, and get one of those guys that's established that's done that a lot, that would be outstanding, whether he's an eighth or ninth inning guy, either way. But you get another late inning guy that's done that a lot, and then it would be a hitter. That would be my take. I just look at playoff games are won and lost by guys that can, you know, get three outs and get you off the field. And that's how you win.
Coop, before I let you go, you've been in this situation before. You're fighting for your own, you know, livelihood. You're on your own team. But how hard is it for a team like the Cubs in the midst of a very good season to try to ignore what's going on in Milwaukee? Because as good as the season is, the Cubs are enjoying, the Brewers are doing better, and it's more surprising, and you just don't know how they're handling all it. Is it easy to ignore that? Is it? Do you have enough to worry about from their perspective? How do you handle it?
I don't think you ignore it. I really don't. I think you know you're in a dogfight, and you know Pat Murphy, you know, he's got the perfect team for him. He's a motivational guy. He was at Notre Dame. He was at ASU. He's always been that kind of guy. He's got the team that he calls them, what does he call them, the regular Joes. That's right in his wheelhouse of, you know, talking to his, getting his players up and motivated to play every night. And, you know, there's a lot of motivation when you talk about millions of dollars. If you were, a 4A guy and now all of a sudden you're playing in the big leagues and you're competing and doing well, he's got them playing well. I think they're watching what Milwaukee's doing. Don't think you're just blind to that. Not at all. But, you know, you got to take care of your own business. If the Cubs are an extremely talented team, Milwaukee has been on their role right now, is now, right? They've been absolutely on a roll. The Cubs have kind of wavered. You know, they've had a good series against Boston. KC comes in, not so good. You know, that's the way the season's going to go. You know, you'd really like to be on a roll at the end of August going into September. And the last 2 weeks of September are going to be tough with St. Louis. I think play the Mets. There's some tough games, I know, in that stretch. So, you know, you want to be playing great baseball at that time. That's for sure.
You got eight more against them, and three of them are coming up right around the corner. Does that – how do you keep that out of your mind, or do you?
You don't. No, you know. You do when you step on the field to play today's game against the White Sox because, you know – you can't take this White Sox team lightly now at all. So in every big league player, because you play so many games, you know that today's today, and then you're playing tomorrow. But you know in 3 days or 4 days from now, you're going to Milwaukee to play, you know, for first place. So, you know, it's in the back of your mind, but it's not in the forefront until you get to Sunday night. That's for sure.
Great stuff, Ron. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Coom.
Absolutely. Hey, boys, I'd just like to say thanks to my high school. We did a Hall of Fame dinner for a bunch of athletes last night. I was one of the inductees into our Lockport Hall of Fame, which they have just started, and they did a great job, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of them. Last night, I think there were 10 of us and a couple of my old coaches who are no longer with us. So great job by Lockport High School last night. Go Porters.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's great.
Now there are two Hall of Famers in the booth.
There's only one Hall of Famer in the booth, so we'll just keep that way.
That's great stuff. Thank you, Ron. That is Ron Coomer. Always a joy. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.